Praise God. I appreciate the wonderful presence of God here tonight and all that God is doing. I appreciate the testimony of God's people and all the good ministry that's going on in this house and around this service tonight. God is wonderful, and His people, it's a joy to be a part of the people of God. Brother Phillips is about to come. I want you to sit for just one second. We're launching something on Saturday. It's the 3rd of April, and we're going to launch a podcast. And for our first guest, we had Brother Daniel Blash to sit with us for, a pretty good while. And we were talking about race and culture and the church. Where we're standing, there's a lot of talk in the streets. There's a lot of talk in academia. There's a lot of talk in the political realm. But there needs to be some talk from the church. There needs to be a voice out of truth into the darkness of our world, because that's the way it works. The Spirit of God moves, God speaks, and light comes on. And you are the repository of the Spirit of God, and you are the repository of the truth. And when you speak, light will come on in our world. And so that's something that we want to do. Sister Julia, are you able to fire that up for us? Let's just take a brief look. Well, we'll see. I dropped this on him. Guest is Brother Daniel Blash, Dr. Daniel Blash, and he is at St. Louis University, the Vice President of Diversity, Inclusion, and Equity. He has the same essential position at Wilson University, and but there it's the Department of Reconciliation and Diversity and Equity. But I want you to know these are conversations that the church needs to have. And we need to be the representative of the kingdom of God in our schools, on our jobs, out in the street, because our world is in desperate need of some direction. And the church is a city set on a hill. That's going to launch on Wednesday. On Saturday, it's going to be on our YouTube channel. It's going to be on the church website and on Holy Ghost Radio. I'm not sure where else. But it's going to be something interesting. And I'm going to be here in the next few months inviting some of you to sit across the table from me and be a part of this. So just pray with us about it. We want to have an influence at every level of communication in our culture. Let's give God some praise. Brother Phillips is coming right now. We're going to have the Word of God in the house tonight.
While you're lifting your clapping your hands, why don't you lift your voice? Come on, somebody magnify Jesus with your voice right now. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, come on, I think we can do a little bit better than that. I know it's Wednesday night, you've been at work all day, but God's still good. Come on, I said God's still good. He's still on the throne. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. If you have your Bibles, very quickly, I'm going to try to be as brief as possible tonight, but I do feel like I have a word from the Lord. Genesis chapter 17, Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. While you're turning there again, let me say what an honor and a privilege it is to be at New Life. I love this wonderful church family, this church culture. Amen. That's a whole nother thing within itself. Amen. Love your bishop very much. He is, in McNary County terms, he's the man. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And I appreciate appreciate what he does for the kingdom of God. I feel like every time I leave from sitting across the table from Bishop Sutton, I'm a better man. And that's truly how I feel. Amen. That's an order. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're here tonight and you've never been around apostolic worship and apostolic preaching, just understand that we're not doing anything that's not in the Bible. Amen? Well, can I get some help on Wednesday night? I said, we're not doing anything that's not in the Bible. We shout the way we shout because it's in the Bible. We dance the way we dance because it's in the Bible. We do everything that we do. We baptize the way we do because every whatever you do in word or in deed, do it in the name of Jesus Christ. We do everything we do because it's in the Word of God. I'm glad to be a part of a Bible church. Woo! Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. Genesis chapter 17 and verse 1. And when Abram was 90 years old and 9, the Lord appeared to Abram, said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect, and I will make my covenant between me and thee, and I will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee. Everyone say covenant. As for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham. For a father of many nations have I made thee. And I will make thee exceeding fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed, and thee after thee, and their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee, and to thy seed after thee. And I will give unto thee, and to thy seed after thee, the land wherein thou art a stranger, all the land of Canaan. Woo, that makes me want to shout. For an everlasting possession, and I will be their God. Amen. If God will help us tonight, I want to preach to us just for the next little while, covenants and Canaanites. Covenants and Canaanites. Would you help me right now by lifting your hands unto the Lord and asking God to move in this place? Jesus, we love you, we praise you, we give you glory and honor. Lord, you're so good to your people. There's nobody like you. God, you're wonderful. You're perfect in all of your ways. I pray right now that the anointing of the Holy Ghost that destroys every yoke would settle in this house. Help us. Help us, God. Help us, God. Give us power over the enemy in Jesus' name. And everyone said amen. Would you clap your hands unto the Lord one more time and lift your voice in a shout of praise, not just because Brother Phillips asked you to, but would you shout just because you love Jesus? Come on, if God's been good to you, you ought to shout right now. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Woo. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated in the fear of the Lord. Genesis chapter 17 tells us the story of the name change of Abram to Abraham as God is reminding and reinforcing. I wish I had time to preach about that, but I don't tonight. Maybe we'll get to that at a later date. But God is reminding and reinforcing the covenant that he made with him. We know, according to the book of James, chapter 2 and verse 23, that Abraham was the man that God considered to be a friend. They had a relationship that when God speaks of Abraham, he calls him friend. The father of many nations and kings, this man was the man that exemplifies what happens when you hold on to the covenant that God has given you. When you think of a biblical example of someone that persevered in spite of what they've been through and yet achieved and received the promise from God, Abraham exemplifies that greater than anyone else in my personal belief in the Bible. He is a young man. He has to wait a long time for the promise. But nevertheless, God is not a man that he should lie, neither is he the son of man that he should repent. But that which he has said, he will bring to pass. Abraham, if he could stand here tonight and preach to this local assembly, I'm sure if he didn't say anything else, he'd tell you, honey, keep holding on. It'd been a long time coming for Abraham, but he never stopped holding on to the promise that God had given him. I'm telling you, we're too close to what God wants to do in this house to give up now. We're too close to the greatest revival that we've ever experienced to give up now. We're too close to the greatest breakthrough in Birmingham that this city, I'm telling you, not just this church, this city has ever seen to give up now. Friend of mine, if God gave you a promise, you better hold on to it, because it will come to pass. Preacher, you don't know how long I've been holding on. Then keep holding on. You don't know how hard it is. Keep holding on. You don't know how bad I'm getting beat up by the devil. Honey, keep holding on. God's going to bring it to pass. I'm telling you that this is the revival that 20-year-old promises are going to be answered. This is the revival that 20-year-old prophecies are going to come to pass. This is the revival. I don't care how long you've been praying about it, honey. You're about to see it. Keep on holding on. God's going to work it out. Hallelujah. Let me preach before I get too carried away. We first read of Abram in Genesis chapter 11 as he follows his father to Haran, and then he becomes the focus in Genesis chapter 12. Genesis chapter 12 begins as God tells Abram to leave the place of his father for a place that he will be shown. And then God gives one of the most powerful statements that he has ever given anybody up to this point in biblical history. I will make of thee a great nation. I will bless thee, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse them that curse thee. And in thee all families of the earth shall be blessed. What we see here is dubbed by most theologians Genesis chapter 12 as Abram's call and covenant. Can I tell you tonight that God does not call anybody that he does not give a covenant to? Abraham has been a man that's been sensitive to the things of God. No doubt, or God would not have called him. But God called him to give him a covenant. God called him to give him a purpose. God does not just call people, friend, hear me, to receive praise. He calls them to give them a purpose. That's why so many people get upset and say that praise doesn't work. It's because they've learned how to praise without a purpose. And when you learn how to praise without a purpose, you're no different than a rock. I'm not praising God just because I want to praise him. I'm praising him because he gave me a purpose. And the purpose is to go forth and to multiply. The purpose of why I praise him is because he gave me a covenant. He gave me a promise of revival that if... Oh, help me, Jesus. Help me, Jesus. No doubt Abram was a praiser. It's evident by his response. But Abram, if you don't move when God says move, you're no different than a rock. And a rock is immobile. God is not going to give a church purpose when they don't want to move. God's looking for somebody to give a covenant to tonight that will move when the Spirit says move. Say, well, preacher, I don't have the Holy Ghost. Well, let me tell you something. If you'll move when the Spirit says move, you can get filled with the Holy Ghost. If you'll move when the Spirit says move, your broken marriage can be put back together again. If you move when the Spirit says move, you can get joy in the middle of your sorrow. I come to preach to somebody tonight and tell you, yes, you do have a reason to praise him. He gave you a promise. He gave you a covenant. He's entered into a contract with you that said, I'm going to bless them that bless you, and I'm going to curse them that curse you. Everybody's going to be blessed because of you. Hallelujah. I'm going to tell you right now, I believe every business that employs a man or woman out of this church ought to be sending this church an offering every week. Because you want to know why? You're the reason why that business is blessed. Well, help me, Jesus. You're the reason why everything's going right over there. All the families of the earth are blessed because you're walking in the Abraham's covenant. You're walking in something that's eons here. It goes way back. God spoke to Abram and he said, it's going to be your seed and the seed after them. I understand we're of the wild olive branch and we're grafted in, but we're still in, baby. We're still a part of this. I'm telling you, I'm preaching to you tonight a biblical reason to shout because God has given you a promise. Hallelujah. God, I'm going to try not to get caught up here, but God has always been interested in things that are moving. It's just something about God. When we see God in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And the earth was void and without form. And the Spirit of the Lord did what? Moved upon the face of the water. That's why religion's dying. Ooh, I feel like preaching about this a little bit. That's why we got churches on every corner that are denominational. I'm not here to throw stones, but if they want to know what's wrong, it's because when the Holy Ghost says you got to move, then honey, move. When the Holy Ghost says to get up, then it's time to get up. Everybody that God has ever gave a covenant to was somebody that was mobile and willing to go when God said go. That's why we can't afford to keep the gospel in the four walls of this brick and mortar building. That's why we can't afford to sit on our padded pew and just expect revival to come to us. We got to move. We got to move. We got to move. This is a chapter of promise. This is a place where God comes down and changes a man's destiny. Genesis chapter 12, I believe. And I wish I had more time to go into this, but in order for me to get where I'm going tonight, I don't. And so just put it in your pocket, and maybe we'll come back to it later, okay? But I believe that Genesis chapter 12 changes the entire outline, or it doesn't change the outline, it sets the outline for the entire New Testament. And the reason is because when God spoke to Abram, the Bible says in Genesis chapter 12 and verse 4 that Abram departed as the Lord had said. And when Abram departed, Abram began what many of us are experiencing right now. Abram departs from the presence of the Lord and he walks into the waiting period. He has a high church on Sunday and walks out of church expecting the promise and he steps into the waiting period. We know that Abram gets frustrated because God's promise didn't happen when he thought it would. And we can see that because he gets ahead of God in his frustration and has a child named Ishmael. And again, I wish I had time to preach about that too. There's so much stuff in this Bible to preach. I don't have time to preach it all right now. But I can see Abram sitting on the altar frustrated because he thinks things aren't happening the way that he thinks they should. And he says, God, I thought you said you were going to make me a great nation. But if you're not careful, Abram, you'll miss what God said. God did not say that he was going to make you a great nation, but he said he was going to make a great nation of you. Meaning when God makes me something, I'm the subject of conversation. But when God makes something of me, the nation becomes the subject of conversation. It's the difference in being the puzzle or just being a piece of the puzzle. Abram, I want you to understand, don't get frustrated because it's not about you, but it's about the nation that's coming after you. And so can I preach to somebody tonight that has a covenant with God? You have a promise from the Lord and you're frustrated because you were expecting it to happen to you. But friend, this walk with God has never been about you. Anyway, it's been about the nation that is to follow you. Brother Reggie, it's about those little kids that are running up around the front. It's not just about new life, but it's about the eons of time that are to come, that people will come and will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, evidence of speaking in other tongues. It's not just about us. It's about the nation that's coming out of us. It's not just about our revival, but it's about the revival that's coming out of our revival.
It's not just about our church, but it's about the churches that are being born in our church. It's not just about our breakthrough, but it's about the breakthrough that's coming out of our breakthrough. It's not about the deliverance. It's about the deliverance that's coming from your deliverance. Abraham, I'm not making a nation out of you. I'm making a nation of you. I'm going to work hand in hand. And it's not going to be about you, Abram, but it's going to be about the nation.
Thank God for regional revival. I'm sorry to bust your bubble, honey. It ain't about New Life.
It's much bigger than that. If all you can do is sit on the altar and get frustrated because it's not happening to New Life, you're missing the bigger picture. The reason it's going to happen with New Life is because of the nation that's connected to New Life.
Abram, it ain't never been about you. It's never been about you from the beginning. It's about what I'm going to do through you. It's about the nations that are to come. And this is what's, and if you'll just allow me to skip from Genesis chapter 12 into Genesis chapter 17. Again, if I tell you the whole story, we'll be here all night, and I know you're hungry already, and I am too, so I'm going to skip all that, okay? So it brings us to our text where it's still not about Abram, but it's about the nations that are made of Abram. In our text, Abram is an old man. And now God is saying you're getting ready to receive the promise. And God says, but before you receive the promise, let me tell you this. I'm changing your name from Abram to Abraham. And this isn't about you either. I understand you think it's all about you, Abram, but just ride with me for a little bit. This name change, it's not about you, because you read and it's about the nations again. It's about the kings that shall come out of him. And I will establish my covenant with you, but it's not about you and your seed after you. And you know the story. For the most part, God gives him Isaac. And then Isaac has a son named Jacob, who is the father of the 12 tribes of Israel. And Jacob has a son named Joseph, who goes to Egypt and becomes a ruler. And his bondage becomes his blessing. I'm trying my best to hurry through this tonight. But Joseph reveals himself to his brothers and moves his father Jacob, who has been renamed Israel, down to Goshen. And there is where we pick up in the story. Understand. Jacob, just like Abram, your name has been changed, but it's not about you. It's about the nation after you. And there is something here that if we're not careful, we will miss it. The Bible tells us that there is a famine in the land. Somebody shout famine. There is a famine in the land, and that is the reason why Jacob's sons go to Egypt in the first place. Famine has driven God's people to the place of bondage. Famine has driven someone here tonight to Goshen to live with the Egyptians. I don't know why God allows bad things to happen to good people, and I don't know why sometimes God lets people end up in Egypt, but I think I have a little bit of insight into the way that God thinks on this. Sometimes God lets people go down to Egypt. Again, I don't claim to know all things, but I feel like the Lord gave me a simple revelation, and I can tell you that this, when we talk of this story here, then we start reading about Israel in Egypt, we're quick to think that this is the very first time that God has allowed his people to be in Egypt. But you see, if you go back to Genesis 12, the Bible tells us in verse 6 that the father of this nation, Abraham, six verses after he has got a promise from God, the Bible says that there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down and lived in Egypt. You see, Israel, this is not the first time you've been here. Way back when, the father of many nations has been in Egypt. Famine drove Abram to Egypt, just like famine drove Israel to Egypt. And I can see Abram sitting down again in frustration and scratching his head, because this is six verses after he got the promise that I'm going to bless you and all the nations of the earth are going to be blessed. And now Abram's living in Egypt. And I just put this in my own language. What in the cornbread world are you thinking, God? You just said I was going to have a promise, and now I'm in Egypt. Anybody know what I'm talking about right now? You said I was going to be great, and the nations were going to come out of me, and that the blessings were going to flow out of me, and now I'm in Egypt? What in the world? He says, God, you're mighty in all the earth, and you said I was going to be blessed, and all nations were going to be blessed in me. And God, you said I was going to be financially free, and now I'm broke as Job's turkey. God, you said that I was going to be healed, and I'm still sick. God, you said that my marriage was going to, hello, am I preaching to anybody? You said that my family was going to be put back together, but it's still falling apart. You said my marriage was going to be put back together, but we're still fighting like cats and dogs. God, you said all of this stuff, and now here I am, and I'm in Egypt, but there's something happening here that if you don't watch it very closely, you'll miss it. There's something happening here when this nation goes to Egypt for the first time. Israel, you're going to go to Egypt, but so did Abram. And let me tell you what happened to Abram when he went to Egypt. The Bible never uses the word rich to describe Abram until Genesis chapter 13 and verse 2. But if you back up to Genesis chapter 13 and verse 1, the Bible says, and Abram left Egypt. Abram was broke when he went into Egypt, but honey, when he walked out, the very next verse, the Bible says that he was rich. And so can I preach to somebody tonight that may be a little bit confused about why you're in Egypt after God gave you the promise? Can I tell you that maybe the reason you're in Egypt is because God is wanting to take everything that the devil meant for evil and turn it around and make you rich in cattle and rich in gold and rich in... Hey, Abram, you got to walk through the famine, and you're going to have to go to Egypt. But let me tell you, honey, when you leave Egypt, you're leaving richer than you've ever been. When you leave Egypt, you're leaving with more gold. You're leaving with more revival. You're leaving with more breakthrough. You're leaving with more anointing than you ever had. So look up, Israel. Because you're not the Makatomosiki Andanamohosa. You're not the descendants of any other man. You're a descendant of Abraham. And the last time that this nation was here, it took the riches of Egypt. I changed Abram's name, just like I'm changing your name from Jacob to Israel. And there's a nation that's coming out of you. But can I preach to somebody here tonight that while you are in Egypt, you cannot forget who you are? You see, God changed Abram's name way before he went down to Egypt. And while what we need to do just here for a moment is look at what Abraham means, we understand that in the Hebrew translated into the English, that the name Abraham means father of many nations. It's a basic biblical understanding, right? The suffix or the prefix Abraham or Abram means father. Well, it just so happens in the Egyptian language, the prefix Abram means father. But the suffix Ham, where it means father of many nations in the Hebrew, means something a little bit different in the Egyptian language. You see, when you translate this into the Egyptian language, the suffix Ham means many or all majesty. And so when you put that together, Abraham, the children of Abraham. Can I just paint you a little picture here for a minute? And can I preach with my imagination for about 5 seconds? I can see this one little old slave boy that's being beat by the taskmasters. And it's a bad day because, you know, all of Pharaoh's men are mad. They've got the Hebrews down in Egypt, and he's beating him half to death. And he says, who do you think you are? And that little taskmaster looks back and speaks and says, I'm a son of Abraham. And to him, it is translated the father of many nations. But to the Egyptian taskmaster, it's translated as I am a child of the father of all majesty. I'm a child of the... I'm a child of the father of all the majesty of all the gods in the world. I'm a child of the King of Kings. I'm a child of the Lord of Lords. It was as if this one little boy, when he looked back and spoke and said, I'm a child of Abraham, he was saying, I'm a child of a God that's greater than Nancy that you worship. I'm a child of God that's greater than Horus, which you worship. I'm a child of God that's greater than the Nile River that you worship. I'm a child of God that's I got a covenant with God. You need to recognize who you are, honey, while you're in Egypt. You're not just a slave. You're not in bondage. You're a child of the King. That's why we shout on a Wednesday night. It's because we know we got a covenant with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords.
And so what happens? Israel, you got to go. It's just part of the way God does things, okay? You got to go to Egypt. But can I tell you? That when you leave Egypt, just like Abram left rich, go read what happened to the Israelites. They left with fine linen. They've been slaves for 400 years. But when they left, they didn't leave broke, honey. They left with all the riches of Egypt. I'm telling you that Egypt, while you feel like it's your greatest problem, is the greatest setup for revival that Israel's ever had.
It doesn't feel good while you're in Egypt. But let me just tell you, hang on while you're in Egypt. The riches are coming. The cattle's coming. The gold. I ain't even where I'm preaching yet tonight, but I just feel like parking here for a little bit. Somebody that's been depressed in Egypt, you need to look into the hills from which coming your help, because your help is in. You're not just another slave. You're a child of Abraham. You're a child of the Father of all majesty.
You know what you need to do? You need to go home tonight to that Egyptian spirit that's been antagonizing you and tell her, you don't know who I am. I'm a child of Abraham. That's what the book of Galatians says. It says that we're of his seed. It says we're heirs with them. Every promise that God gave Abraham, he gave it to me. I might be in Egypt right now, but I just want Egypt to know that when we leave, somebody ought to just throw your hands up in the air right now and proclaim to the devil that I'm a child of Abraham and I'm leaving here rich. I'm telling somebody today that God made a covenant with you. He said, I'll make you the head and not the tail. I'll make you above and not beneath. I'll make you the lender. I can't get no help on a Wednesday night. I'll make you the lender and not the borrower. Blessed shall thou be in the city. Blessed shall thou be in the field. Blessed shall be thy storehouse. I'm telling somebody tonight, you got the blessings of Abraham over your life. You got the blessings of God and the favor of God. You got a reason to shine. You see, you have to understand that Egypt, God, help me preach this how you gave it to me. Egypt has a purpose. Because if the Israelites spend 400 years just set back in their lazy boy, not building, what's going to happen? Because when you have covenants, covenants always come with Canaanites. You don't ever get a promise without some peril in the way. God don't ever give anybody a breakthrough. That, you know why we call it a breakthrough? Because there's something you have to press through. There's opposition that you have to break through. There's all manner of hell that you have to. So that never comes. Covenants never come without Canaanites. And so you see, Egypt plays a big role in this. Because you know what happened? Anybody here ever poured concrete? You know what I'm talking about. I can tell you right now, I poured concrete for a couple of years. You can look at somebody and tell when they've been pouring concrete. And I know you see people on the side of the road and say, oh, that's easy, honey. Go get you a concrete rake and find out how easy it is. You don't build stuff like they were building without packing on some muscle. You see, you thought Egypt was going to destroy you, but you didn't realize that Israel have never fought battles like they were going to have to fight once they got in Canaan land. And so God left you in Egypt for a little while because he said, if I let you go into Canaan right now, you'll be weak and anemic and you won't have any muscle built up. So when the Canaanites come, they'll wipe you off the face of the earth. But because you've been in Egypt, because you had to spend some long nights in bondage, because you had to go through some trial, because you had to go through some tests, you've been in Egypt, and because you've been in Egypt, honey, when you get to Canaan, there's not a Canaanite, there's not a Jebusite, there's not a Perizzite that can stop you. I've been in Egypt, honey, and if I've been through Egypt, I can go through anything. Stand with me if you will. I'm almost done. I'm going to preach 2 minutes about the Canaanites. Can I have 2 more minutes? See, I've heard it preached about my whole life. And Brother Antoine, I'm sorry, but there's a lot of preachers that preach it wrong. Because they try to talk about Canaan land as a type of heaven. But Canaan land, understand, it flows with milk and honey. But Canaan land is not a type of heaven. Because when we get to Canaan land, there's Canaanites. There's giants that we gotta fight. There's walls we gotta pull down. And when we get to heaven, there's not gonna be any walls. There's not gonna be any giants. It's just gonna be glory all around. Here, if you don't get anything else, I say tonight, get this right now. The apostolic church has bought into the lie that the place that flows with milk and honey, houses that you did not build, and vineyards that you did not plant is reserved for when you get over in glory land. But I come to tell you tonight, that's a lie from the pit of hell. That's a place that God ordained you to walk in while you're on this earth. Can I tell somebody that the covenant is greater than the Canaanite? That the promise that God, it's greater than the Canaanite that's living in the land. Give me Joshua chapter 3. Joshua chapter 3 and verse 9. See, this is the same nation. They've been to Egypt. They've been through the wilderness. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come here, come hither, and hear the words of the Lord your God. I feel like I'm just standing in the shoes of Joshua tonight, and I'm reinforcing what's been being preached around here for the last 30 years, however long he's been here. Go to the next verse. Come here and listen to me, is what he said. Just, again, that's country talk. Get over here and sit down and pay attention. Like mama. You know mama was mean and business. And Joshua said, hereby shall you know that the living God is among you. He said, I want you to know that God is here. But I want you to know how you can know he's here. He said, this is how you're going to know that the living God, not the dead God, because we done been where they worship them. We done been in Egypt. But the living God is among you, that ye shall without fail drive out before you the Canaanites and the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Girgashites and the Amorites and the Jebusites. He said, you're going to walk into Canaan land, and this is how you're going to know that the covenant that God gave Abram is still alive. You're going to without fail, whether you want to shake somebody and say without fail, you're going to drive out the Canaanites. You got a covenant, and your covenant is greater than your Canaanites. Your covenant is greater than your greater. It's greater than your Canaanite.
Hey, preacher, you don't know how bad my bank statement is. Honey, your covenant is greater than your Canaanite. Preacher, you don't know how long I've been depressed. Honey, your covenant is greater than your Canaanite. You don't know how long it's been this way. But let me tell you something, honey. Your covenant is greater than your Canaanite. You're going to walk in and houses that you didn't build, vineyards that you didn't plant, milk and honey's going to flow. It's a promise, and it's for you to walk in right now.
Don't give me some, can I just put it how I feel, some sissy, weak, feeble idea that you have about the apostolic church. Don't give me some, well, we're barely making it. I don't know what church you're a part of. I don't know where you attend church, but the church I'm a part of ain't barely making it, because we got a covenant that's greater. Oh, I told y'all I was quitting, and I meant it, but I'm just telling you, I'm trying to preach this out of my spirit right now, because somebody's been looking into Canaan land and saying, preacher, there's Canaanites. Well, I come to tell you, there's covenants too. There's blessings too. There's, don't let him run by himself. There's breakthrough. There's anointing. There's deliverance. I'm not going to let some Canaanite steal from me what God promised me I could have. I've got a covenant, and it's greater than every giant in Canaan.
Why in the world would you settle for half a promise, for half a covenant?
Why would you settle for you and your children when it's for you and your children and those that are far off? But, hey, after all, that is kind of why they spent 40 years wandering in the wilderness. It's because they didn't believe God for the whole covenant. Ooh, put that in your Proudin packet, honey.
They didn't walk in, because they couldn't see the bigger picture.
And I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. There's some apostolic young people. There's some young married couples. There's some elders in the church that say, we've been compassing this mountain for so long. and it seems like we ain't getting anywhere. We've been walking around in circles looking at the Canaanites, but I'm tired of looking at the Canaanites, and I'm gonna start looking at the covenants. I'm tired of looking at the problems. I'm gonna start looking at the problem solver. I'm tired of looking at the walls. I'm gonna start praising the God that pulls down walls. I'm tired of looking at all that Canaan has. That's my house that giant's living in. That's my vineyard they're eating from. That's my creek that they parked their self on top of. I'm telling you, go in, because you're going to be able to overtake it. You're a child of the Father of all majesty. You got a covenant. You know what's happening right now? Some of y'all are waiting on me to say something to light your match, and you're waiting on them to sing something to light your match. But honey, when you get it in your spirit that you got a covenant, you won't need anybody to go crazy. You won't need anybody else to lose your mind. You won't need anybody else's help to start leaping for joy. Because you know the covenant's mine. The promise is mine. The blessing is mine. Somebody that's been letting the giant live in your house or to tear out of your pew and say, I got a covenant, and it's time for you to go. It's time for you to get out of my way. You to do anything crazy, okay? But I am going to ask you right now, no matter where you are, I think we got enough room in here. If you don't feel comfortable, you can find somewhere and get socially distant. So understand where we're coming from right now. I'm not trying to make you do anything you're uncomfortable. But can I tell you what Brother Phillips feels and even sees? There's some of you that are quick to get out, dance, shout, and I appreciate that. But I want to talk to somebody that's glued in that pew. And I tell you that you can't find the covenant, Abram, if you're immobile. So this is the challenge in the Holy Ghost. I don't care if you run the aisles. I don't care if you jump. I don't care if you cut clips. We got people around here do that. I don't care if you run the backs of the pews. That'd be awesome. You can hang from the balcony, from the chandelier. I don't care what you do. Or you can just stand in one place and kind of pick your feet up. But get out of your pew right now if you want a miracle. If you don't want a miracle, it's fine. You can stay where you're at. If you don't want a blessing, that's fine. You just stay right there. But somebody that wants something from God, that wants their covenant, needs to start doing like Abraham and say, the Spirit of the Lord's moving. So I'm going to move with it. I'm not going to be in mode. Come on, somebody praise him. Somebody praise him because you know that you got a covenant. Somebody praise him because you know that the breakthrough is on the way. The miracle is on the way. Come on, I know the doctor said no, but you got a covenant that says yes. I know the banker said no, but you got a covenant that said yes. Ask for God in him. His promises are yea and amen.